As I stood at a public meeting, hand over my chest, pledging my loyalty to this republic, I asked myself how many giving this ritual actually care or appreciate the unique character of the United States. So far down the universalist slope have we gone that a few objected when the former Mets first baseman Carlos Delgado refused to stand for the Star-Spangled Banner. Even Superman, the distinctly American comic book character whose motto was Truth, Justice, and the American Way, has been transmogrified in a 2006 film mouthing the words Truth, Justice, and all that stuff. The American character embracing idiosyncratic national virtues is under siege through a global dream of common humanitas. After all, we are all the same, moving inexorably to the citizenship of the world, or are we? Should Superman wear a UN badge as he engages his mortal enemy, Lex Luthor? Transnationalists from Anne Marie Slaughter to Dean Coe decry nationalism and, by extension, the need for patriotic sacrifice. What they are saying is join the global party by renouncing your American identification. It is not surprising that several Supreme Court justices use foreign precedents to substantiate opinions on national cases. One wonders what a Zimbabwean court can possibly suggest to American justices. Citizenship, if it has any meaning, cannot be an appeal to abstractions like worldwide camaraderie. It exists in a particularistic phenomenon related to tradition, the Constitution, language, creed, and custom. We, the people, the first three words in the Constitution, do not refer to any people. They refer specifically to the citizens of the United States. The union in the word united applies specifically to our history. We transform the United States are to the United States is through the Articles of Confederation, to the Constitution, and the Civil War. That is not world history. It is American history, and it is woven into the fabric of national identification. For some, patriotism is antediluvian, an idea that holds Americans back from international cooperation. I see it differently. Patriotism allows us to understand who we are and what is our mission. I believe in America and what it stands for, but even if I didn't, it is apparent, as the world football matches demonstrate, that most people are attached to local institutions and national loyalties. They are embedded in the web of customs and culture that define who people are. This is not the first moment when universalists tried to dethrone national sentiments. Antonio Gramsci, one of the founders of the Italian Communist Party, in 1922 asked plaintively why Italy did not have a revolution comparable to the Russian Revolution in 1917. His answer was found in the Italian fervor for nationalism in a state which had been unified only a half century earlier. Undermine nationalism, he thought, and the communist revolution would unfold. But despite repeated efforts to march through the institutions denouncing national fervor, Gramsci did not, perhaps could not, succeed. As an idea, universalism has appeal. But after all, there are the common threads of family, passion, disappointment, government, love, employment that unite people everywhere. But these ideas do not account to the idiosyncratic cultural backdrop that gives them meaning. Family in Stockholm is not the same as family in Marrakesh. The difference not only counts, it is what contributes to allegiance and devotion. T.S. Eliot noted, "Culture is not enough, even though nothing is enough without culture. Culture is in the air we breathe, and that air has a national scent. If I may modify Edmund Burke's position slightly, then manners are more important than law. To suggest that manners, culture, and custom are more important than law, and these characteristics in the aggregate, account for how we define ourselves."